Hello, and welcome to the Pages Speak. I'm Pastor Stephanie Page, and
I'm Pastor Joe Nathan Lee Page.
And we are so happy to be here this evening. We have some wonderful guests.
Yes.
We have Prophet Ray Shipman. Oh, if y'all don't know him, you need to get to know him. The brother's on point. Come on now. And we have Apostle Sonia Green. If you want some real talk, straight, no chasers. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. So tonight, we're going to be having an awesome conversation in regards to the church, where we are now, and where are we going from here. So I just want to give a couple minutes for, you know, our guests to say hello and introduce themselves to you even more. I have first, I'm going to let ladies go first. So Apostle Sonia, followed by Prophet Ray.
Well, hello, and I just want to thank the Pages for inviting me on the Pages Speak. I am Apostle Sonia Green. I'm from the D. As most of you know, we represent the D well.
And come on now. East side.
I'm excited to be on here, and it's a great subject. I think we all need to really examine this subject a little bit more and a little bit more in depth. To see, we all know what the problem is, but how do we get out of the problem and find a solution? The church is a solution. So how do we get people to invest in the solution?
Amen. Okay, Prophet Ray.
It is always an honor to be on any stage to minister and build the people of God. I am honored. I'm honored not just because I'm on, but I'm on with these two powerful people, Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Stephanie Page. It's going to be wonderful. So keep watching and do us a favor and share this. This is going to be good.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So the theme of the show this evening is where do we go from here? And, you know, we've been speaking a lot about where we are and the things that are going on and the different things that, you know, we actually have to face as the body of Christ, as the kingdom of God. So before we can really talk about exactly where we're going next, we would like to, you know, just talk a couple minutes about where we are and what are some of the, you know, most blaring, yes, the most glaring issues that we really need to deal with before we can go anywhere. Amen. So whichever one of you would like to speak first, you know, just chime in about where we are and what do you believe is like the most glaring issue that, you know, we really need to address.
Prophet Ray, you can go first.
Well, one of the biggest things that we see that has been happening has been from the prophetic community. And we have a whole group of people who are prophesying about Donald Trump, our former president, Donald Trump, about him being back in office. I've talked to several of them, and now they're gearing up for, I think it's March 4th. And it is not lackluster. It's sad. To watch these people. Now, so this is the thing for me that I have grown up with these people, not just watching them, but because of our spiritual parents, Drs. Jerry and Cheryl Piscopo, I've had the ability to rub shoulders with them. I've eaten with them, and to watch and to listen to some of the things that they say is absurd. And then when I start commenting, not just on the president, because I can care less about that, not about the president, but about how they wanted it to transpire. What I care most about now is the fact that you guys are very vocal about all of this, but I heard you whispering nothing when our Black boys and girls were being shot and killed. And so that is a huge issue for me. And so there, and I've said this several times on Facebook, their God is very concerned about the unborn children, but wasn't concerned about social justice, wasn't concerned about murder, not concerned about inequality. So those are things that are huge for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Okay. So, this is going to be good right here.
So you got to be excited. Here, but in addition to the fact that, number one, I love politics. And so I have a bonus. I love politics and I know the word. So, and I concur with what the prophet said, but the most important thing is about it is that we have people, just as he said, not just prophets, but everyday believing people who for some reason choose to believe the prophets over the word of God. And so my thing is that we don't, and I'm not, listen, don't get offended if it ain't you. Listen, I'm talking to everyone who wears size 8.5 shoe. So if you don't wear 8.5 shoe, you don't have to worry about it. I'm not talking to you. So we have a lot of people who don't know the word of Yah. They know the word from what someone said or what they've heard, you know, because we're good at cliches. And so when you have all of these nuances and coming in, and then mixed with Christian nationalism, for those who don't know what Christian nationalism is, Christian nationalism is the ideology that the flag, apple pie, baseball, white America, anything that's American, patriotic, the Confederate flag is equal to the Bible. What they really believe is that that America, basically, they kind of like, well, we, if Israel don't work out, America is the second backup.
Yep.
So basically, they believe, if you listen to them, you will swear that Jesus came over to America, not just the Americas. You know, it's a whole big America, South America, North America. So to the United States of America, he was crucified and he died here for us. And not necessarily us, but white America.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you listen to them, you will hear that ideology. So when you have that ideology mixed in with word and people do not know the word or interpret the word to suit them, we see what we have now. So we have people out here rioting and fighting. Most of these people don't even read the word. Most of these people aren't even saved. They don't go to church. Mm-hmm. And so, but yet they will say God and country. And so I just had a discussion with the lady. She said, oh, what's that? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. That particular under God?
Under God,
one nation under God.
Statement did not manifest until 1954. So when you have all these ideologies coming in and then you're trying to find it to fit the word of God, we see what we have here. Some people say, well, black people are doing it. I said, well, we got Clarence Thomas. If you know what I'm saying. So when your relationship is greater than your relationship with the Lord, it becomes cultish, because now it's not even about so much him being president or stealing the election or whatever they say. It's about him getting in being the president. And when you, since we love this country so much, we snatched down the very flag that you degraded Colin Kaepernick about. I probably said his name wrong. The very flag that you said you fought for, to raise a flag of Donald Trump. So then you have to ask yourself, well, are you really fighting for this country and God, as you say, or has it become cultish? So the question is, you know, when you don't have, like you say, you try to talk with people and people don't want to hear it, is because, you know, a lot of times we got to remember, let me just finish that statement about what Christian nationalism is. Christian nationalism is nothing but white supremacy wrapped in the Bible to maintain and control, so they can keep control of this country.
Yeah.
So, and even in knowing that, so basically it's racism with a cross on top of it. So, so in understanding that, that's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened is in the past, you know, couple of years or past few years, it's just been rearing its head, or it's been out of the, it's been uncovered. Mm-hmm. It's been revealed.
Yep.
Because I mean, I'm going to tell you, you know, when people spoke about, you know, that God chose Donald Trump, I believe he did. I believe he did, so that people will know what was lurking in the back rooms of the temple.
Absolutely.
Instead of Tamas, we had the nation, and racism is what they were bowing down to.
Mm-hmm.
So the curtain had to be pulled so that everyone would know what's really going on, so that we know how we're supposed to move and understand that, you know, many of us thought that we were all aligned with the same agenda and with the same kingdom alignment and same agenda. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that God did appoint this so that those who were walking around without seeing what was going on behind the curtains, now we have clear vision. Now we have clear understanding. We know exactly what not to say amen to. We know exactly what not to pour our funds into. We know exactly what conference not to attend. Mm-hmm. We know exactly where we're not supposed to be, and we can hold the line and say, no, this is not true. No, this is not in alignment with God, and I'm not following that.
Yep.
But again, God's people perish for lack of knowledge. So I believe that this is God's way of bringing us into knowledge of what's really there so that we can deal with it. And the truth of the matter is, you know, this is no different than someone that's overtaken by a demon. It's the same issue.
Absolutely.
It's a demon. It's a spirit of racism. It's a spirit of superiority. It's actually just underlying the spirit of hatred. Mm-hmm. And so now that we understand what we're dealing with, we cannot, you know, I don't cater to spirits. I don't cater to spirits. We owe the truth. And if I love you, I'm going to speak the truth. Mm-hmm. And prayerfully, you'll receive the truth. Absolutely. If Holy Ghost is in there anywhere.
Anyway.
You know, if Holy Ghost is in there anywhere, mm-hmm. you know, the truth is going to do something to set you free. So what I'm hearing us saying is where we are right now is in a place where we have uncovered or pulled the curtain back on the racism that has been lurking in the church.
Yep.
And with the nationalism where there's a worship of the country mm-hmm. more so than a worship of God. Because again, I you know, this is just me. I don't say I pledge allegiance to no flag. I mean, this is not my home. You ask me and you'll see it all over my posts. I pledge allegiance to the kingdom of God, period, point blank. That's where I'm aligned. And so, you know, this is basically calling us out. Like, where are you going to fall? Are you going to fall in alignment with the king, or are you going to continue to follow Nebuchadnezzar? You know, and continue to erect idols in Babylon and then put a banner on top of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar and call it Christ. You know, that's is that what we're doing? You know, that seems to be where we are, you know.
Can we take it even further? Mm-hmm. Because that's the political part and the church part, but then we have to look at it from the standpoint of the spiritual side. Now we have, or the practical spiritual side. Now we also have people who have missed it prophetically, distrust in the prophetic. And instead of coming forward and saying, hey, this is what I said, I thought I heard God, I don't know where I missed it at, but listen, this is what we see the fruit of. And so clearly what I said was not right. One of the things that I prophesied about Trump back in March or April, and the word that the Lord gave me said something about how he would use his foolishness in this season and in the next in order to prosper and to preserve his people. And so instantly, check this out. Instantly, I went right to the fact that that means that Trump is going to be in office again. That's what I said to myself as I was walking into the office because we were having service outside. As I was walking back into the church, I turned to my son. I said, did I just prophesy Trump back in office? And everybody was like, yeah, that's what it sounds like. And so when all of this stuff started transpiring and the closer it got to November, the Lord started to speak to me. He said, you have made an idol of prophetic accuracy. I said, what? I said, how can I make an idol of prophetic accuracy? And he was like, because you have listened to the accurate words of other people instead of figuring out what I was trying to do and say now. And you've associated the two and said, because I say this now, they said that then this is what's going to happen. Mm. He took me back to the Kim Clement prophecy. I listened to that. And he said, now listen to what he says. And I listened to what he said. I typed that thing out. I printed it out. I dissected it. And I said, oh, my God. OK, this could have been broken up in several different areas. That was then. And he said that it is absolutely possible, number one, for me to change my mind about somebody. one. And then number two, I used him exactly the way that I said that I was going to use him. And it has been y'all who have made an idol of this prophetic word. You have bowed down to the word, not me. You have bowed down to the word, and you have pushed everybody to believe what you said instead of pushing them to me to find out what direction that I was going in. I said, oh my God, we have. And I started listening to the prophetic words from all of these national prophets. And I started to realize they're basing their prophetic word off of something that somebody else said, not what God said. And it started to blow my mind. And I started to watch. Now you can see all, if you go to any of these people's Facebook or social media at all, you'll see all of this hoopla about, oh, just wait, it's not over. We're holding on to the word. You've got, what's her name? Africa, Paula White, who's making declaration. And then the Lord even took me to that. And he said, she was not wrong. She heard victory. She heard angels. And I said, okay. He said, but y'all assumed it was for Trump. Said, oh my God. He said, you made all of these assumptions about what I said and tried to interpret what I said instead of just listening to what I said. I said, oh my God. It's amazing because you see a lot of people now, instead of coming forward and say, actually, I see a couple of people. I'm not going to say their names, but I see a couple of people.
Sam!
Okay. We've got the Chuck Pierces and the Barbara Yoders and all of them. I love them dearly, but we see them now. They're doing prophetic forecasts and none of they're slightly addressing where they missed it. But they're not really addressing it. They're saying, you know, you've got to give prophets grace and da da da. But you won't come right out and say, hey, we prophesied this thing. This is not what happened. We missed it. Now, yeah. I have a prophetic training class and a school and all of this kind of stuff. One of the things that we major in is the fact that the prophet has got to be submitted enough to be able to say, I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. And I might miss it. That is not your goal. But if the fruit proves otherwise than what you prophesied, clearly you missed it. Be able to admit it, because if not, people won't trust the word that comes out of your mouth.
Come on now.
So then let's identify that. So another thing that you've identified as far as where we are now is a lack of humility.
Yes, indeed.
Within the church, as well as a lack of submission unto the Spirit of God. So basically what you said is that we're leaning to our own understanding in regards to the word of God that's coming forth. Yep. And this is sort of leading me just really quickly. I just want to touch on this really quickly. I'm going to drop this and then I'm going to back off of it, but I got to drop it. When God sends a word, do you believe that his word is for the advancement of his kingdom? Or is the word for the advancement of a natural agenda?
Apostle, go jump in there.
So, I just want to say, I'm going to answer that question because it all kind of ties in to what we're saying. Mm-hmm. I just want to say the only reason they're national prophets or national people, because you see them on TV. Mm-hmm. God didn't call them national. So let's just clear that up, because the Chuck Pierces, the Barbara Yoders, they've always been Christian nationalism. Let me tell you. Okay. So
we gotta go.
Let me just be nice about it. I just want to say something. I said unto Kim Commit came to the church where the church he was at. I was at that church.
The light.
As long as he was there. So, I have a friend who was a scribe. I call him Scrubs, but a scribe who wrote down all Kim's words. And I did a teaching. I brought some prophets, some apostles and prophets, and we had that very in discussion. And so Kim said a Trump will trumpet. You know, he also said there will be a black woman. He said a lot of things, but we forgot about that. He talked about, I just want to talk about believing words. He also said that President Obama wouldn't be president. He also said that Gates will be the one that fund the church financially. So when you're talking about Jeremiah Johnson, he should know my name. My name should be tatted on his shirt because I come for him all the time. He's one that I call him one of those low-key, shady, racist prophets. He got a few black friends who can't even really justify his racist, you know, that he's racist, so they try to, you know, they cover it up, put a little sugar on it. But the fact is, when you check him or judge his prophecy, he will block you. So we have this mentality, which is not, the Bible says we should submit one to another.
Absolutely.
So what happens is, we done made these people heads so big because they are winning some churches, and they got a few words right, and they said some things, and now they have, because Jeremiah Johnson considering himself a general or a leader in the prophetic. I say, I don't consider you that at all. So I don't know who told you that. Maybe your crew that you rock with told you that, but you're not that for me. So in any case, when they receive, when they pronounce these words, and just because of the status we have put them, we believe that it's God. Listen, I try every word. I cast out devils, honey. Listen, I'd rather cast out a devil than prophesy. Let's be real.
Hello. Yes.
I see y'all. And so when you, and I like to agitate people with demons. So I'll write stuff just to agitate their demons, right?
Yes.
And that even to show them that you are manifesting and you don't see it. So when we get these words, just because I've heard leaders say, well, I'm your leader, and I tell you to vote for Trump. I'm your leader, and I'm telling you, I got a house note, a car note, I have insurance, and you ain't paying those things.
Now.
So your responsibility as sheep herders, what do? They keep the sheep out of danger. And so, all I'm doing, if I'm still walking the way of the Lord, your responsibility to make sure I'm fed, and make sure I keep going on the right path that has been established. Mm-hmm. Not to tell, I'm not dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So we have established, I know a lot of people don't like this, and I'm going to say it, this spiritual fathering and mothering thing, which came down from, I know this man, oh God, great guy, can't think of his name, great deliverance minister, who started this thing in Florida. And we have taken it and made it into something that it shouldn't have become. Now, I'm not saying that people, you don't have that relationships with people. But now when you go to church, that's my spiritual mother, spiritual father. But Timothy says, I'm getting off a little bit. But Timothy says, when it talks about a man who rules his own house, he ain't talking about the church. If you can't be kind to your family, you can't be, how you gonna be kind to someone in the body of Christ? So we got all these little doctrines in the church that continues to build on top of nothingness, which causes people to continue to be handicapped. I like to call it the hospice, but continually and not get help and refuse to, and don't know how to really seek out God until they're about to take their last breath. What does that mean? That means when they turn away from God, they don't want to hear another word from God. I'm feeling very prophetic now, so I've never heard that. So just rock with me for a minute. And so when we have these things, and then what we do, instead of coming back in humility and humbleness, coming and grab that person back, we continue to beat them down. So you talk about truth. Then we come with a prophetic word. I call that prophetic booty call. When they call you at night and whisper, tell you you're going to get a husband, God going to open the car door. You know, you're going to get all this money, keep you encouraged, to keep you to stay there, yet you still bleed. You got hidden, broken spaces and hidden places, and they don't see it. They don't see that you're bleeding, and yet we continually and listening to this truth and praying, God, let this word come to pass. And God said, I ain't said that, because we don't know Christ for ourselves. We know that's the time to jump up and shout. You know, we know these little cues, but I'm going to shut up. Praise God.
Let me add this to you. I think that one of the biggest issues, I did a live months ago, I think back in October, from one of the prophets here. He got into some trouble with money and raising an offering and all that kind of stuff. And I called him, told him I was doing it, and did the live. And I said on the live, I don't blame him for this behavior. I blame his father. I blame the one that taught taught him how to manipulate and matriculate and try to steal from the people of God. In addition to that, I blame the 300 people that kept watching him, talking about him, sending money, and kept perpetrating this same behavior. And the issue that we have now is that we have, and Lord, forgive me, and saints, please forgive me, but we have a whole group of people who are still building and pouring into this kind of ministry and ministries that were built on the backs of Black people. From Paula White, I love and have loved him all of my life, not parsley, but the truth of the matter is we have their ministries, and the reason that your worship is the way that your worship is because of us. The way that you preach is because of us. Your flow and the demonstration that you give is because of us, and we have built a platform for them and continue to. We can't be mad because you keep sending the money. But ain't nobody sent me no money. I'm just saying.
So this is what I want to give back to.
Can I say something?
Because when we talk about where we are now, mm-hmm. and then we need to look at, is this what God established? Mm-hmm. Because when you look in the word, even 1 Corinthians 14, they prophesied two or three so that one will be able to judge.
Mm-hmm.
So where did we get this where there's one prophet, he speaks and everybody grabs it. Where's the judging?
Bill Hammond.
Where's the judging of the word? Where is everybody going before the throne to judge the word? And again, when you have the atmosphere, again, because God poured out his spirit on all flesh,
mm-hmm.
we have set up this pattern where we elevate people where only one person speaks and everybody eats. And if that person is off, then everybody's off.
Mm.
There's no check and balance. There's no correction. Last I checked, when God gave gifts, he gave it to a five-fold ministry. Okay? But we have all of these ministries that's dependent on the voice of one person.
Listen.
And when that person is off, there's no checking that person. Now, is that the church that God established?
It is not.
Or did that come straight out of Rome? Did that come straight out of Rome? The same people who colonized Israel.
Yep.
Then colonized the Christians.
Uh-huh.
And now we have this model that we're operating from. Is this what God desired?
Absolutely not. And I'm going to.
You said it.
I'm going to name another name, and I'm going to walk down this thing real quick.
Wait 1 second. Everybody watching this, y'all need to share.
Yeah.
Everybody watching, y'all need to share. Share it on your direct messages. Y'all need to get this out because people need to hear what's being said today. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And so this is the thing that we have, and I love him dearly. I cut my teeth on his books,
mm-hmm.
Building and all of that kind of stuff. What's his name? Apostle Bill Hammond. Love him. Prophets and Pitfalls. I suggest every prophet and every prophetic person to read the book, Eat the Meat, Spit Out the Bones. But one of the things that he said in his first book, he's got three of them about the prophetic, one about pigs in a parlor. But I've read all of them several times, and I know a lot of them by heart. One of the things that he said in the book, though, is that the prophet is only about 70% accurate. This is interesting to me because I have friends that are psychics who are 98% accurate. And I know your substance is not greater than mine. That's number one. Number two, I think that it's interesting that you can admit that the prophet is only 70% accurate. For your assessment, that is only 70% accurate. But then when it comes to this, you are assured that this, how do we know that this is not part of the 30% that you declared that the prophet is inaccurate in? That when we start looking at the fact that all of the things that we have been doing and demonstrating as a church, we have stolen from the Catholic Church. I have people who will fight you if you do not have the right robes on, you don't have the right set on, you don't have the hat. Look, I'm not wearing all of that stuff. And the only reason I do is because it looks good. That's it. And here's the funny part. These same people want to talk about, and I'm about to go somewhere, and I know the saints gonna be mad about it. People want to talk about transgender people who come to church dressed a certain way, or a man who dressed in a dress. Do you not understand that a robe is a dress?
Come on,
it really is. And so all of us are trying to fit into this image of what church is supposed to be, and we've moved away from the kingdom. We've moved away from discipleship. We've moved away from building people. I did the gathering yesterday, and we talked about control and structure. I need us to understand that the way that we have imagined what church is supposed to be is not church. It's slavery. It is slave mentality. If he came to set us free and free indeed, why then am I stalking you if you don't show up at church? You grow. If you don't show up at church, you don't. You can watch us online, catch us later. And if you need prayer, call the prayer line, because I'm probably going to be asleep or with my family. I don't have that kind of time. I need us to understand that the image that we have built on what structure is, submission, and all of that kind of stuff is in ministry is actually demonic. And it comes from a racist group of people that says that slaves ought to obey their masters. And it's us perpetrating that same type of gospel. And it is not the gospel that just preached. It's not. From prophetic fathers and apostolic fathers, and you do what I told you to do, or you don't get to advance. That is demonic. And it did not work for our forefathers. It did not work. This is why we have the Church of God in Christ, because somebody decided to step out of what you said. But then we took what he said and then said, oh, we're going to do it this way because this is the way that I believe God said it. Now, if we want to submit to that, that's absolutely fine. But don't declare that this is the way that God declared it, because this is not kingdom. We are all kingdom citizens. And part of the job for each kingdom citizen is to train and reproduce after your own kind.
Yes.
And if we don't start reproducing after our own kind, we are perpetrating demonic forces. We are building principalities against ourselves. And they're trying to figure out, why is it not working? Why is my church not growing?
Come on now.
Our job is to build the kingdom. He builds the church.
We come on now.
The kingdom. He builds the church. You got your focus wrong. You focus on building your church when you're supposed to be building the kingdom. And the kingdom is people.
But yes.
The church, God was showing me that the church has got to the point where he's given it influence, but it's got to contain it, tainted with control.
Yep.
Because we've got it confused, because influence is just to affect some people and affect their lives by being able to walk it out before them, not to control them and try to get them to do what we want them to do. It's about God getting in a situation or getting in a person's heart to change them so they can be able to move forward by the power of the Spirit. Because what happens is, I think with the prophetic had an influence to affect people to cause them to change, to let them know that God is speaking. But somehow the prophetic got tainted where people used it to control people.
Manipulation,
because control is manipulation. When we get to a point where we just really allow God to do his work in his kingdom and bring people out and compel them to come and take our fleshly ways out of it, our controlling and manipulating ways out of the situation, then God can really do some real change where people want to come around the church. We've lost the influence, the impact, to the point where it's like people, when they come there, they got to question you, because they've seen so many people manipulated by the church, and seen so many people right now being manipulated, that people know the false, the real fake. You know, when I'm in the street, you know, we know the fake before we even get there. We can smell you a mile away, you know. And then when you smell a person, you kind of get away from that because there's a stench in your nose. So you try to move away from that. But how do we bring back the authenticity of the prophetic? Since so many people have missed it, and there's a lot of prophets that didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
They didn't even utter a word. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of our evangelical codes. Amen. A lot of our other brothers and sisters who were boldly to declare things. Amen. So how do we get back to that authentic?
Well, it was one thing that you said that I wanted to jump on. Leaders lead.
Yeah.
So the thing is, with a leader, you're supposed to be walking it out and showing people the way to go, not grabbing the people, throwing them across the street, throwing them up, you know, whoever needs to manipulate them, here, come get this candy. Go, no, stop manipulating the people. Stop it. That's not what Jesus did. And this is what this is the only thing I want to say. When we profess Jesus Christ as our Lord, but we don't do what he did, nor do we follow his way. What we are doing is patterning ourselves in carnal mannerisms in order to get people to do things psychologically.
Witchcraft.
It's witchcraft. It's not what Jesus Christ did. Nope. So let's get back to studying his word. Let's go back to looking at what he did. Let's go back to seeing how he was sitting with the prostitutes. He was building people up. He was letting them know, listen, I've come for you. You have worth and value to me. He wasn't the only people he was really hitting real hard were the religious hypocrites. But then we established a system of religious hypocrites.
Yep.
Because the truth of the matter is they are putting weight on the people to do things that they themselves will not do, or they're condemning people for doing things that they're doing behind closed doors. Okay, and God is like, listen, judgment is here, pulling that veil off, and now everybody see everybody naked and all of their stuff. So that answered the first question.
Wait. Because you went there,
you have
people like what is his name, Bishop Eddie Long, and I've said this. We had an evangelical who I can't remember that man's name. He was on TV, everything. He got caught with the worship leader and the heroin and all of that kind of stuff. And so one of the biggest issues, I'm really gonna get in trouble, honey. I'm sorry, but I think that there are people. There are specific areas of sin that everybody wants to focus on. That's number one. Number two, the issue though comes in not when you're with your sin, because Jesus was the reparation for our sin. We have an answer for the sin. That's not the issue. The issue then comes in with what you just said. How is it possible that I can stand in the pulpit and attack you for doing the same thing that I know in a minute, because before I started service, I was texting my date before I got up there. I was setting it up. And so now I'm going to call you all kind of names from the pulpit to get you to repent, knowing that I'm going to be having sex with you later. No, ma'am. No, sir. Ma'am of God and sir of God. That is in itself prophetic manipulation and dominance. Stop. Let's stop doing that. If you have not grown to the place where you can preach that because God is dealing with your heart and try to get stuff out of your heart, then leave it alone and don't beat the people up. Then you ask a question. Pastor Jonathan, you asked a question, how do we get back to the authentic? And I have one scripture and I'm done. And it is, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. The only reason you will know or recognize a false dollar or a fake gold is because you understand the reality and the real of that thing. I have a lady who has been coming to my church for like the last month. And she was asking to sing and do praise and worship. And I'm like, no, because I see your heart. And no, your heart hasn't changed. No, absolutely not. She can sing, whatever. I don't need no singers. I can sing. So I just stand up there and sing if I need to. None of that is a problem. And so no. And I told her flat out, until I see a change in your heart towards God, not the church, not worship, not people, until it changes towards God, you cannot sing for praise and worship. And then two Sundays ago, as I was sitting in worship at the end of service, my brother, Prophet Cedric Wright was here and he was ministering to people. And in the middle of him ministering, I had him stop. I grabbed the microphone because the Lord spoke to me and called her Maleficent.
Ooh.
I said, Maleficent. And he took me right back to the story. And he said, they made her a villain. She's not like this just because of her. So that means you're going to have to love her out of this. And I said, what? But you know, he said, but you were. And I said, all right.
Okay.
Then we started doing that. This was 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago. I have seen all kinds of changes. She is staying in contact with my wife. She is staying on prayer. She is seeking God. And her heart has begun to change towards God. Does her everything else change? She still smokes weed. She still does. I don't care about that. I don't care about none of that, because I can tell you all the live long day that you're going to go to hell. You're going to do this and you need to change. If your heart does not change towards God, you're not going to listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I want your heart to change towards him. Therefore, yes. Behavior is going to change. But in order for us to get back to the truth of what we are going to see and do, we're going to have to get to the truth. And the true prophets, the true apostles, pastors, evangelists, and teachers are going to have to stand up and stand for a couple of things. The truth of what God said, the kingdom, and not be afraid of other people.
Amen. Amen. So again, you asked that we're speaking about where we are now. And we know where we are now is not aligned with God's will. Okay, that we can say across the board. Do you think that we're aligned with the church that Jesus Christ established? We've established that that's a no. And we've also hit on some reasons as far as why and why not. Now, we've identified a little bit, because there's so much more. Oh, my goodness. But we've identified a little bit of where we are. But now we got to get to where do we go from here? And unfortunately for this week, we are out of time. So we're going to have to go to part two next week, same time, same place at 9 p.m. The pages speak, and we're going to have again the awesome Apostle Sonya Green and a wonderful Prophet Ray Shipman. Hallelujah. And the awesome Pastor Joe Nathan Lee Page and me, you know, Pastor Stephanie. Glory to God. So we just want to say we love you all. If God puts it in your heart to give. It's in the remarks how you can do it. We don't harp on that. But there's some things that we really need to say. It's some things we need to point out. It's some directions we need to get, because we have to figure out where we go from here. We need to figure out what we need to do as leaders to start on that path. We need to recognize and point out the things that we got to kick out the boat in order to get to where we need to get to, so that we can be truly the kingdom of God. Yes. Amen. So for this week, we love you. We'll see you next week, and bye-bye.